Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, the podcast for the modern age. Join our host for all of the shenanigans, featuring Justin Corey, Smoke Show Violet Smith, the vivacious Nicole Woolsey, the ever fabulous Aaron Gore, and their special guests as we journey together with hedonism in our hearts and a drink in our hand. Adult language used. Listener beware. Cheers, darling.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. Oh shit. Welcome everyone. Swig and Ramblers, all that stuff. How are you doing tonight? Yeah, cool. I mean, you guys can't. I'm already recording this, so I don't know your fucking responses. But yeah, hope everybody's doing well. I'm here today with again the lovely and illustrious Aaron Gore. What's up?
Aw, thank you, Justin. I know that you mean every word.
I do. And of course, Violet is in the house. Thank you.
Woo.
Yeah, did that super weird because I wanted to do a super weird intro today. I heard the word mushrooms previously and immediately I thought pizza, but tell me more about this party with the mushroom.
Oh yeah, I got to do a little shroomage last night. So much fun. It was my first time doing them without being on an anxiety medication. It was a lot different too, which was fun. I didn't have to take as much.
There's nothing like a live drug interaction trial,
literally
in the natural world. I love your commitment to science.
Well,
exactly.
It was not far from home, so that helped.
That's fair. No drinking and shrooming. Got it. All right.
Yeah, no drinking right now still. Well, I did have a White Claw the other night for the first time in 5 years.
Nice. How
Since
was
I'm
it?
off the medicine. It was fun. I drank one over an hour and a half course time without a koozie, so it got very warm very quick. That was gross.
Nothing says tasty like warm TV static with just a hint of flavor.
Exactly. It's like hitting a vape and then drinking water. Hitting a fruity vape and then drinking a sparkling water. That's what I said the other about it. I was like, this is weird. But yeah, I'm just going to start carrying around my own koozie so I can nurse drinks for an hour until I'm ready.
That's what we need. If anyone out there wants to sponsor our swag,
yes,
Swig and Ramble
please.
Koozies, we could definitely do this. We need multiple sizes because White Claw cans are different.
Oh yeah, they are.
But yeah, let's do this, guys. We can crowdsource this.
Matter of fact, just a more general statement. Anybody listening, we will happily allow you to sponsor almost anything. I do not have a single branded thong, and it is indeed on the table.
I
well, that's
agree
all
with
we
that.
have for today's episode. I appreciate everyone coming on. Oh, that takes me back. Did I ever tell you guys about the time when I originally launched Wizard of Whiskey? It was right at the beginning of like podcasting. Influencers had just sort of entered the mainstream as far as like vocabulary. 2013, I think, right around that time, I got an email from a bikini company wanting me to, you know, sport their stuff. And I sent them back a picture of my bearded face. And they said, what size would you like? Like, I don't think you guys, I'm not your test market guy.
Justin, you could have been a very successful bikini model.
I
up
could have
until
been
now.
A great.
Listen, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, buddy.
100%.
I'm really a little disappointed in you.
Honestly, yeah, you're not
that
wrong.
It is so funny because a friend of mine in my industry just made a post about how any of these anybody wants to have their stuff anywhere as long as you have something to promote it on. Because she was just asked if she could promote a power drill.
Yeah.
In fairness,
oh,
that
yeah.
is in keeping with the theme.
That is
a little bit.
That is
but
keeping
it
with.
was like just
Alrighty.
So random. She's like, I mean, I'll do it, but.
That is a
she
marketing
like,
person
am
who is
I
either
really?
as a marketing person who's either
You know what?
absolutely clueless or really, really clever. One of the two.
Yeah.
You know what? You are right, actually. The more I think about it, who's watching her content?
It's
Men.
exactly the right demographic. The drill part
It
is spot on, and
you know what?
also great for screws and getting nailed up. I mean, there's
I
plenty
just
of
figured
options
out.
when it comes to using this device.
Maybe they thought about that with you, Justin. If you wear the bikini or show the bikini off and you have a lot of female audience, maybe we'll buy it.
That would
it's all
Well,
Fucking, it's crazy.
probably
this is
work
no
better
missed opportunity.
with a drill. Like real men, use Ryobi, I think would be great. Well, that's a great
That's
thing. You can
true.
have that, Ryobi. That's your tagline. You can have
Take
that
it.
or Effie.
I don't know. Hitachi, it was probably Hitachi. They make
Probably,
devices
yeah,
for
they're
both
really desperate.
industries. I really
Milwaukee or
think it
something,
there's a lot of crossover appeal there,
Oh man. All right. Well, who's got a sour as my mash? And we need to talk about what's in our glasses, I think.
Well, which
Well,
one are we doing first, Justin? Damn it.
let's sour it up and then what's in your glass, Aaron?
Yeah, no. So what sours my mash this week is, actually today I was very fortunate. I got a chance to march in the Charlotte Pride Parade. It happens in August in Charlotte as opposed to in July due to a scheduling conflict in like the early 90s that they've stuck with ever since, which actually helps. It's a little less blazing hot. Now it's only blazing fucking hot. So after face and rainbow makeup all wore off, still an absolutely incredible time, amazing celebration of love. Just you could really feel the energy. It's a short track; it's only a little over a half a mile, but this thing still takes 3.5 hours. There's so many people participating; it's incredible, and yet there is still always some asshole who really just feels the need to be there, just screaming and yelling and holding signs and just spewing hate. And that's one of the things that drives me nuts, because let's even leave aside for the fact that whether or not someone considers it, immoral to be gay or to be trans or to be a furry or any particular category, it's this idea of feeling the need to introduce hate and to introduce negative feelings into a situation that is purely about celebration. And even if you feel like what they are doing is immoral, they're only doing it to and for themselves. So there's literally no victim here. And yet people feel the need to take time out of their day to make other people feel uncomfortable and unhappy as well. And that really pisses me off because, it's 2025. The shit wouldn't have been acceptable in 2025 BC, but it sure as hell is not acceptable now. And frankly, I just think that this, to really bring this all the way full circle, is a sign that Americans need to really take their hobbies more seriously, because the fact that people have this much fucking time is sad. Read a book, people. Play Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know. Watch the Criterion Collection. Do something other than waste your weekend on this shit.
How to do a craft.
A craft, it's amazing. My wife took up stained glass. Do that. It's wonderful.
Ooh,
Fit
that's
your
a good
churchy
one.
theme, guys. It's perfect.
Our wives need to
It's
chat.
crazy. Huh?
I said our wives need to chat. My wife just took up stained glass too.
I want to. There's a class somewhere around here. Like, so I know somebody that does it, and I do hand embroidery. That's my main thing.
That's
I
cool.
love a good craft. Well, I'm a crafty lady.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's why I don't go anywhere and spew hate, because I do crafts instead. Get your
I
hate
feel
out
like
with
that's a good
crafts.
outlet.
I stab and stab and stab.
So
I
you
do
don't
both.
stab
Stab and
better
stab and
channel.
stab. I actually made one recently of a Molotov cocktail that says, "Be the light you want to see in the world."
Ah,
It was a custom order.
I was just about to say, if you take custom orders, that is great. I would 100% put that right up on the wall back there. For anybody listening at home, I promise there is indeed a wall. I'm not just recording this
There is a
video out
large wall
in
that
the
has
woods.
it has lots of art space.
All right.
But
Yeah,
yes,
I
what's in my
agree
glass?
with that.
I got a couple of things tonight because the topic today is cannabis. First up, I have High Seltzer Peach. High Seltzer is a THC seltzer, 5 milligrams. Nice and easy, super light, crisp, easy drinking if you like hard seltzer, but you want a different sort of buzz, a little less of a hangover, and you're not milking a White Claw for an hour and a half. This is the perfect option. The other one is actually a product that I am on the advisory board for. It's been a really fun adventure seeing this one become a reality. Just launched. It's Kama. This is actually a non-alcoholic beer with THC and adaptogens. So nootropics and plenty of stuff just to make it to where you're having a nice light buzz, even lower dosage than typical THC beverage. Very similar flavor, which you'd see out of a high quality non-alcoholic beer anywhere else. But also just a few additional ingredients, additional additions. Yeah, I'm coining new phrases here to go ahead and get you through your day and really make you feel like you're living a little better, living a little healthier while you're taking a break between more traditional beers.
Oh yeah, that sounds nice.
It does. Violet, how about you?
All right, well, my sour, what sours my mash right now is something a little silly, I guess, but they're discontinuing all of the vapes again, and I just like everything else, it just gets discontinued. They'll be somewhere, and they're gonna be like worse for us in some way. Kids are gonna still get a hang of them because that's what it's all about. The kids are getting them, but I don't know. It's frustrating because just figure out something else, I guess. But it's a silly one, but it's been on my mind lately. In my glass, I have a double glass. I've got coffee as usual, French vanilla coffee, and then I have my Bong glass with me as well. And because I don't partake in eating or drinking cannabis or THC or anything, it makes me very anxious and does not give me the fun high that I like to have. I just have smoked too long to change it up and whatnot. But I'm smoking Purple Kush and Vietnamese Black, a legend hybrid.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see. The total THC is 23.36% and a 0.0% or 0.06% CBD. So that's what I partake in tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Very
And how about
cool.
you?
We'll start with what's in my glass. I'm doing, I think this is Recess. This is the peach ginger. It's a hemp and adaptogen infused sparkling water, calm, cool, collected. I hadn't really done much research into what an adaptogen was before today, and I definitely want to jump into that because those are some interesting stuff that's going on with beverages in the beverage category that several of us work in. But what sours my mash is we are coming up on 2 years of, let's just call it what it is, let's a genocide that's happening in Palestine. And I don't want anyone to take anything away from this, but what I'm my opinion, backed by years of data research and facts. I have no issue with, I have many issues with religion, but I have no issue with Judaism. I have no issue with people who want to live in peace. My issue is in the United States, we are funding a genocide and we're funding it for condos. We're funding it for white supremacy. And if you disagree with that, that's okay. You can write it, write it in, send us a message. We welcome the discussion, but I won't be called anti-Semitic for the view that Palestine should be free. Let's jump into some THC shit. Let's talk about this.
All
So,
right.
the drinks industry has gone fucking haywire. Low these many years. It used to when I started, and I think probably I can't speak for Aaron, but right around probably the same time he started, it was still a fairly old world version of itself. You had bourbon, you had scotch, you had, the clear, spirits, you had beer, you had wine. And anything outside of that scope was peripheral, and it was percentages of a percentage of a percentage. Now you have so many other things happening, so many crazy creativity innovations that are just, I can't even keep. I went to Total Wine and BevMo today, and I genuinely got lost.
Yeah, I'm glad that your wife was able to find you and pull you out of there. It was getting lizzy for a
Believe
bit.
me, she was too.
But no, you're 100% right. When I first
They're
got
gonna
into
be.
the industry, what was
No,
that,
go
Violet?
ahead. No, I was agreeing. You're go ahead.
Oh, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Never agree with me on purpose. But no, when I first got into the industry, it was very traditional, but starting to layer upon. So what we were really seeing people do is explore what are these various categories. And craft beer really pushed the bounds on that. And beer category, you went from beer being, well, fucking beer, to beer being a much, much broader category. Spirits, you had a little more diversity at the time in spirits, but this is also some of the similar era when things like Fireball or Screwball or like some of these other like flavored vodkas really took hold to the point where, Bacardi Razz, good Lord, I should have named my first kid Bacardi Razz given how much of it I had in my early 20s. So these were really kind of laying the groundwork for this explosion that you've seen now of absolute customization of what people are consuming. And it goes even beyond that because, customers aren't even category loyalists the way they used to be. People used to be, yeah, you're beer drinkers, and they were a beer drinker. They were a beer drinker, by God. You had your actual bourbon drinkers, your tequila drinkers, you had your wine drinkers, and they were basically like the beer drinkers, but with a better accent, with their fingers stuck up in the air. Mind you, I've worked in all these industries, so I can pick at them to my heart's content. But these days, everybody is. It was actually Bart Watson from the Brewers Association, president of the Brewers Association, coined the term omnibibulous. This idea of people drinking across categories. Everybody drinks everything, and it's all built around flavor and use occasion and what you're in the mood for. But it really has ballooned this idea of drink into something so much more diverse than it ever was when any of us were coming up in it. Lila, how about you? What's the experience been like as someone who's not been in the industry, but is just engaging with beverage in general, not even cannabis, just like drinks as somebody who goes to the occasional grocery store and/or bar?
I'm only 28, so I only drank for 1 year before I couldn't drink for medical or for like my medication. So I'm not super even like knowledgeable on all the alcohol, but I do see a lot more of the drinks, the THC drinks and everything. And I even recently they're popping up more in like grocery stores, which is interesting to me. Just like I went to a random like home goods store the other day and they had them behind the counter there. And I was like, okay, that's an interesting one. But yeah, I don't partake in them as much, but my family does.
Well, I feel like even on the non-alcoholic side, non-THC side, even just drinks, and this is actually one of the reasons why I feel like anybody kind of blindsided by this whole thing wasn't paying attention, at least if they're in the industry. This was happening with sodas and kombucha and like Jung and like we saw those balloon as a category, all these different options. It used to be you had, being from the Midwest, you had Coke and Sprite Coke and Grape Coke because everything was freaking Coke to us. But
That's where I'm at too.
exactly, those were your options. But like these days, it really,
That
that
is true. Like,
happened first.
yeah, we got like strawberries and cream Coca-Cola now. And was there sweet tea and Sprite right now in stores? I'm nervous to try
Don't
that
hate
one.
on that. It's
Is
actually
it good? Okay. I
pretty
love
good.
sweet tea, so, but I don't know how I'd like it carbonated. So I'm like,
One of my cousins lives in Arkansas, not far from Bentonville. And so, those who know, it's the headquarters of Walmart. And so, they get first crack in their stores at all of the new random shit. So, he will post Oreos that I'm like, the
That's
crazy
a weird one
shit.
too.
Yeah. Like all the weird
Don't get me
flavored
started on
shit.
Oreos. I could spend a whole
I think
episode on
everything
Oreos.
really
Like,
boils down to overconsumption. We
my
live in
I know I sound
such.
like I know I sound like an old man, but stop that. Stop making stuff.
I wait. Let's carve out Oreos because I really need us to leave poor, defenseless, innocent Oreos, the only dessert I eat with
They made
frequency.
Oreo flavored Oreos, Aaron.
They made Coca-Cola flavored Oreos and they're fucking delicious.
I
All
can't with
right.
these people.
Well,
You
I like
gotta
some of them, but can't have
stop them.
all of the. They gotta have
No.
some feedback
You gotta
here.
stop somewhere. And I draw the line. I will actually, you know what? I will find some of these and we'll have to have Paul on the podcast one day to talk about some of this shit because it's like dill pickle Oreos. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck no. Or dill pickle Dr. Pepper. First of all, when did
What is
dill
with?
pickles become a new fucking flavor of
I
everything?
was what about to say the same thing because like if you go into Five Below specifically, it took all their candies pickle flavors,
Oh,
pickle cotton
it's the new
candy,
sriracha, which was the new bacon.
which honestly, that's it's the kids,
It's the
it's the
kids are
kids.
the worst. Damn
I
it,
did
kids. Did you
probably have a
just discover
bacon. It was like the mustaches and bacon of what is that 2011. Yeah, I'd be like 14. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow. I feel old. So,
I'm
you are
sorry,
old.
man.
No, it's not your fault. It's totally your fault. So, the category of beverages has grown so much to include, you're right, people who weren't paying attention are surprised. And it's amazing
Yeah.
how, because I work in Napa, it's amazing how oblivious this area has been for so many years. No one diversified. Instead, they thought, hey, why don't we just raise our prices? Because it's Napa wine. And
Premiumization. We were being told that for
yeah.
what, 40 fucking years in wine?
Let's re not only did they raise their prices, but then they also started not waiving tasting room fees. I had a meeting a couple of weeks ago with someone. They were looking for some marketing assistance. And she asked, in a very rude way, but she asked, well, what do you think people, why do you think people aren't coming to tasting rooms anymore? And I said, well, a lot of the times people aren't waiving, tasting room fees. That's a very big thing. She's like, we never waive, jumped on my back. We never waive tasting room fees, only for members, blah, 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 blah. We've never done that. We've never did this. And I'm like, well, that might be why you're struggling. If you're not willing to adapt, and I hate this, the term isn't survival of the fittest. It's survival of the adaptable. That's the actual meaning of Darwin's theory, is if you can adapt and learn
Makes you the fittest.
strategize, you can survive. That's what he means by the fittest. So yeah, it drives me nuts. The fact that this industry, go ahead, Violet.
That makes me think of the I've seen a lot of discourse about the lack of tourism in Vegas right now. I don't know if it's just TikTok talk or if it's, I haven't looked too deep into it, but it's like somebody posted a picture of the mini bar or the mini fridge costing $50 to open it. And it's like, people can't do that right now. They're already
That's dangerous in
paying.
Vegas too, because the whole point is to get to such a state where you're going to open that thing because you don't know what side of the fucking planet you're on, much less
Exactly.
what the costs that go into it. I was traveling for work. This is maybe like 4 weeks ago, and I made a rookie mistake. I travel a lot for work. I think I did 80 plus flights last year. So a lot of work
Wives.
trips. But one of the places I was at, they get put those water bottles, the big old True Life or whatever they are, water bottles, the really nice water that is just tap water they put into a really fancy plastic bottle. You never touch those things because it's like $4 each, and it's $4. But $4 buys me Taco Bell. So, I made the stupid mistake of coming back from a long night of being out enjoying myself. And the first thing I did was say I could walk all the way to the bathroom, fill up a cup, and drink that water. But that bottle's right there next to my bed. Stupid fucking decision. Rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. I would have opened that $50 mini fridge every time.
The first time I went to Vegas, I got lured into room service because I'd never done that before. Got the worst French toast I've ever had in my life. It was just like half a loaf of bread that they soaked in egg. It was wet on the inside. It was
Oh,
not
yay.
good. That was a mistake. That was a rookie mistake there too. Don't get room service. It's expensive and not good.
It is.
First time I went to Vegas, I got there, went to drop my bags off in my room, and then go meet my friends. I'm in my early 20s. I take the elevator down, take two steps on the floor, and get offered by a very kind woman wearing not very much some party favors. And my naive early 20-year-old self had absolutely no idea what she was referring to. Thankfully, someone else grabbed me by the arm and said, "The fuck are you doing, young buck? Get the hell out of here." But yeah, that could have been a very, very different evening, and me and her and our 15 love children probably would have had a very different life than the way it has wound
Well,
up instead.
you don't know. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's just, I think
wonder what she's doing now.
the path not taken.
that's just, it is crazy. And I think a lot of like my generation of people, and even into the 30s and whatnot, are stopping drinking. A lot of people are pulling back. I know a lot of people I've been going to the bar with are like posting, like, I'm 2 weeks sober. And I see it a lot more. And just a lot of people I meet in general that don't drink at all.
Why do you think that is? I have thoughts. I would love to
I
hear.
think it's generational. We see our parents and how they acted with alcohol. I mean, I've seen a lot of crazy alcohol stuff, and just, it doesn't, if you, and a lot of us didn't drink as we should. A lot of us didn't drink and just drink for fun and not for enjoying a drink, and that makes for a shitty day. And after that, like on the next day, nobody wants to feel that anymore. And weed, cannabis, THC drinks, those are becoming so much more accessible and so much less taboo, I think, to be like, oh yeah, I smoke weed, and not hide it. You can smoke it at the bar. I think that's changing a lot too with the
So,
amount of people.
Justin, I'd be curious your thoughts on something because when you look at the data, and I know we're talking about like THC beverages to a degree, but more THC cannabis in general. If you're looking at the data, like people who smoke, a lot of times they're also drinking while they're smoking, or at the very least, it's not a change in behavior. As flower has become legal in places like Colorado, Minnesota, you don't see that having an impact on alcohol. It doesn't lead to less drinking because people who are smoking are pretty much they're still smoking and they're using alcohol exactly as much or as little as they were before. Beverages, I think, are a little different. I mean, you're typically not like double fist, unless you're at a very, very fun and very ill-advised party in your early 20s. You're probably not double fisting too often. So typically, if you're drinking a cannabis beverage, you're, well, different kind of party. You're typically not going to be, sipping on a THC beverage at the same time that you're sipping on a beer. Usually, this is an either-or affair. And that, I'm going to be curious as they become more common if we start seeing an impact on how much people are actually drinking because they're subbing in as opposed to necessarily doing alongside.
My idea on that for my age range is, and younger, is I think the younger people are still drinking and smoking and at the same time. But then once we hit like 26 to 30, 35, you realize you can't do that very well. It makes you puke every fucking time. You get those damn spinnies if you start mixing alcohol and weed, or alcohol and really anything, probably, you get. It's not fun. I learned that way early on and stopped mixing, and I started smoking nicotine instead.
Now
So,
wait until you hit like 35, Violet, and all of a sudden you get the dreaded 3-day hangover. The 2-day is rough, but
oh,
3-day will ruin your
well, my fun thing was that I experienced the most extreme hangovers only because I started drinking when I started taking an anxiety medication. And it would
week.
wipe the anxiety medication out and just put me into a pure panic attack the next
Good
day.
times.
Horrible, horrible time.
Good
So
times.
I don't even, I'm like, and now that I'm dealt with that, and now I've had 5 years of being able to go out and just smoke and hang out with my friends, come home, watch a TV show, then go to bed and have a great day the next day, I don't even see myself wanting to get drunk now that I have the option to. Like, I do want to sip on stuff and like try things now and not have the fear that I'm going to have a crazy night then or day or whatever. But it has changed my thoughts on drinking in general and like that. Like, fun nights out for me will still just be like doing shrooms, or like I did not mix anything last night between shrooms and weed because those are pretty equal to me and how they make me feel. But yeah, I think it's just people are. I don't know. I think maybe wanting to be healthier and thinking that like all the only way to drink is to heavy drink, and not being able to know when they have a stopping point on anything, because a lot of people have addictive personalities that they, like me, I can't get away from that. I get addicted to, I've never even smoked cigarettes and started smoking these vapes, and I'm hooked. That's why it's my mash. That's why Sally's my mash. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, I don't know. It could be a lot of factors overall, though.
I think it is.
And cost. I think
That
everything costs
is
so much fucking money. And unless you go to a
the
dive bar, you're paying so much money for any kind of drink anymore.
I rarely purchase a beverage unless I'm at a conference, honestly. And I'm buying around for the table. And it's because it makes no sense for me to go and spend $18, $20 on a cocktail or two. It's silly. But yeah, so there's a lot of factors. And
There
again,
is.
the industry is freaking out. And when I say the industry, I mean the top four producer companies. So
Incident.
Diageo, a few of the larger wine companies. And what they did in the 90s is they bought up all of these wine brands, and they kept going through the mid 2000s and all the way up to about 2017, up to about 20, up to honestly up to COVID. You had these big, huge conglomerates producing enormous amounts of wine, enormous amounts of wine. And we thought we were spoiled for choice when we walked into the grocery store. Turns out it was three companies making every single fucking bottle. All they were doing was changing the
Listen.
labels, changing the bottles. It was the same wine for the most part. And it's amazing to me that some of these people, they're still around and they're wondering, well, why doesn't anybody want to buy our shit? I was at a conference the other day and they were like, well, young people don't want to drink wine. It's incredibly expensive. It doesn't have the same value of
Appeal.
community that
Yeah.
other beverages do to the youth. And I'm going to say the youths,
Yeah.
because it's
I say
different.
even up to 30, it's still like
Yeah.
I
You
may be able
guys.
to get one at a fancy restaurant, like when I go out on my birthday or something, and there's like something that sounds nice, but I'm not. When I drank, I would buy like the $10 bottles of wine. Like,
And even that's a splurge at
even
that
that's a
age. I
splurge.
mean,
Biz.
like,
If we're opening something on a daily basis, it's going to be even cheaper than that. Like, my wife
We have
loves,
the
Prosecco.
$5 bottom shelves.
So
I
I'm buying
remember when $2 Chuck actually cost $2.
$2. Yeah, it was a dollar
I think it
ninety.
was
That's how old I am.
is
Yeah.
it Bay Bridge and I think Bay Bridge and something up Bridgetown, something those two
Bartles and
would have.
James.
No.
You're dating yourself there,
I'm
Justin.
definitely
Now,
dating
we're
myself.
digging deep, buddy.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's honestly, I still remember that shit. But yeah, so the fact that we can enjoy THC beverages in some states, and let's talk a little bit about this weed thing. I was discussing this earlier today with my wife, in fact, about Henry Cabot Lodge and hemp and paper and lumber back 100 years ago, actually about 110 years ago now at this point. And I mean, I wasn't there, but there's a lot of history with certain types of people not wanting things to be different or other categories to grow. So for a century, we had hemp was massively illegal in this country, and in other parts of the world. The fact that weed is still illegal in some places is crazy. And the fact that we still have people in jail for marijuana is insane.
Yes.
Let's federalize it. Let's decriminalize it. If you don't want to make it legal, fine. Let's start with what Portugal did. They decriminalized everything, including the hard stuff. They just decriminalized it. And abuse rates went down, murder rates went down. I mean, it's Portugal, so there was like a murder a year.
But that guy feels way
That
better.
guy felt exactly. They saved a life. They decriminalized everything. And what that did was it allowed them to focus more on treatment, on wellness, on helping people, get off of these things, and less about let's just fill our jails with people who have a dime bag of something. And I know that's antithetical to the super, and I can't even call it capitalistic at this point because it's just oligarchy. This oligarch idea of let's fill up all these private prisons here in America, which is the most, by the way, un-American thing in the world. Private prisons. So yeah, let's figure this out. Let's start with decriminalization federally. Let's let some people out of jail. I'm not talking high-end cartels. I'm not talking murderers. I'm not talking, but let's
Violent offenders.
Yeah, let's maybe figure out a playing field that actually works, because I think we talked about this previously, but if I'm not mistaken, most of the people in jail for weed are black and brown. Despite the fact that they're actually the least users.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a dispensary in Michigan, and they were like really advocating for getting people out of jail for weed. And it really needs to happen. I know a lot of it's for trafficking because it's not federally legal, so you can't take it over the state lines, which is silly.
The I
Yeah, it's
remember
difficult.
when it was first legalized in some states, there were huge issues with cash. They had to
Oh,
hire, basically they looked like cartels and they looked like the mob because they had to hire actual armed security because they had not only the grow houses, but they had millions in cash sitting around
because
with
you can't
no way to do
use
it.
your card.
Can't
No,
that
yeah.
and you can't put that in the bank. Once you've sold that ounce, now you have a cash problem. So you have to have an entirely cash-based economy, which is not at all what our economy is, and it hasn't been for several hundred years.
What
Yeah,
is
there's like
cash?
it's that money thing that some people have. Somebody mocked me
Never
the
heard of it.
somebody
What
mocked
shape
me the other
card is
day.
that?
I have the hard ones, the coin ones.
Coins.
I
No, that sounds made up. There's like
no way
ancient
that exists.
Egyptian and
But
shit.
There's a handful of dispensaries that will allow you to use a card, but they're like, I don't know how long the payment processor will allow it though, and that's all it is. And then when they don't want it anymore, then
Well,
we're back to cash.
they charge more for cards. I don't know if they do that where you are, but in California they charge
I
more
can
because
only imagine.
has to be a different it's a different system that goes into a thing and blah blah blah. You
Something,
pay
yeah.
cash, it's the price, and you don't pay tax, whatever. But it's like, let's decriminalize it and let's tax it. We would be the wealthiest people in the world if we taxed this shit. Let's tax it. Let's have some fun with it, guys. Come on, Donald, if you're
Although it feels like
listening,
it's a
tax this shit.
lot easier to regulate something in the ways that do make sense when it is legal. It's very, very hard to prevent things like, human trafficking in order to provide forced labor for hemp farms, which is something that does happen in areas when it's a where it's a black market or at best a gray market or things like trafficking. It's not trafficking if now it's actual commerce, and now you have the ability, to your point, to tax it, to regulate it, to make sure that the products are safe, that there's no nothing that could be a pollutant in it or anything that could be something you don't want people consuming or smoking that just happen to get into the mix. And when you're talking about drug safety and you're talking about revenue and you're talking about trying to even reduce the workload on police forces and federal task forces to not have to be chasing this stuff down, it's a lot easier to manage all of that when people at least aren't worried about the core business and the core form of enjoyment no longer being legal or allowable. And we saw that. Look at alcohol prohibition and all of the problems that that created in a relatively short period of time. We've been doing this
And
with
it's,
weed for a lot longer, and all these problems are ones that could be turned into benefits, opportunities if we let them.
a lot of people are learning that it's not as bad as people were told growing up. I meet older people all the time. They're like, well, I thought it was this really terrible thing, and now I eat a gummy before bed and I'm great, and it was portrayed as such a terrible thing for so long that there's still so many people that think it's just the worst thing ever, where there's still never been a true death can occurred, anything really that bad. I'm sure people suck driving on it. There's people that aren't good high. That's just a thing. You can't, it's, but I don't know. It's weird.
It's
It's weird that
objectively
it's.
less dangerous than things we have no problem with.
That's what I'm
And
saying. Like, sorry, but alcohol, it is a lot more.
the having a couple of people in the alcohol injury. This statement was not endorsed by me.
I know.
Shut up and stop
I'm a
telling the truth,
THC
Violet.
girly
Damn
on here. I'm
it.
sorry. Just
This
saying.
episode
Just
is brought
saying.
to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yes.
So you raised some interesting points, and the propaganda machines that sort of run the day-to-day in the background, and I'm not talking about global cabals, I'm not talking about the the sort of skull and bone societies, the secret. They do it in public, by the way, guys. It's not secret. It's fucking public as shit.
Oh yeah.
But the propaganda machines really took off in the early 1900s, and then again in the 1960s. Why in the 60s? You had soldiers coming back from Vietnam, a place where we had no business being, and a lot of them had distress. They were there killing children. They were there bombing and shooting children who were defending their homes. No amount of patriotism is going to make up for that. That feeling that you've gunned down some innocent child who was just, whatever, or that you've bombed this thing. The other thing is that they smoked and drank a lot over there. I don't want to say it was like a big party, but when they weren't blowing up people, it was a kind of a big party. There was, I mean, you see the movies, and I know those aren't super accurate, but Budweiser was shipping tankers every week over there of beer. It was a lot. And so when these people, whenever when these guys came back, it was a shit show. And people want to, sweep a lot of it under the rug about how it really was, and oh, being anti-Vietnam is anti-American, all this other stuff. But we really fucked up our soldiers in Vietnam. That was sort of how we first started. Previous, people came back from World War II. There was a mission. We did a great thing. We didn't talk about the syphilis outbreaks. We didn't talk about the drug addiction that happened in World War II, World War I, Korea. But we started talking about it in Vietnam. And so the anti, the prohibitionist and the anti, weed groups got back involved and said, oh, we have to have something else that's gonna, it's not that we're killing people, it's that we're out there. It's the weed. It's the weed. So you had this guy, what was his name? He was a famous actor. His name was Ronald Reagan. That's what his name was. And
I think I've heard of him.
his wretched, horrid wife, they went out there and they told you that drugs were bad. And don't get me wrong, I don't think children should be doing anything, including Flintstones vitamins. I think we drug our children in this country way too fucking much. But we don't have conversations about natural solutions because because pharmacies, not pharmacies, but pharma wants they want to sell you a pill instead of letting you grow a plant. That should tell you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah, it's definitely a definitely one of those situations where, rising evangelicalism. I mean, having grown up a child of the, I was born in 87, growing up in the 90s, my dad's a minister. So watching
In the South?
the in the Midwest,
Oh.
it's
I want to be
basically
the South sometimes.
just the
The
South with a
ministers
different
in the
accent. It's just
Midwest
further
want to
northern
be in the
south,
South.
sorry.
Rural Indiana. If you go
So
to
the South, so
Evansville
this.
and keep driving until the banjo music starts, that's about 10 minutes still until you get to where my family lives.
So Northern Kentucky, go on.
Oh, that's the funniest part is my family does live in rural Indiana, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And I love all you guys. Not that you have electricity or the internet to listen to this, but I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, because my parents lived right across the border.
My mom was, yeah.
Twinsies. But my family to this day gives me a hard time for being a hick because I was born in a major city in Kentucky rather than being born in the middle of nowhere in Indiana on a compound. And it is one of the funny things because like that evangelical strain, it really took off in the 80s and really kept going all through the 90s. And we're seeing in a very different form, a much more aggressive form now. But it was the era of Dungeons and Dragons is a satanic cult, of Harry Potter is trying to turn kids into witches and wizards for real, of Pokemon is somehow
Evil
bad. I never figured that one out.
monsters.
And so
There was some
it
kind of
was
evil
an era,
monster.
it was fascinating to watch my dad, who actually these days is very progressive, really cool guy, who really has a really good sense of humanity and of empathy. I wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween as a kid.
Now's another one, yeah.
Anybody who knows the fact that my house stays semi-decorated for Halloween year-round now can understand how deeply this affected me. But it was wild watching that. We weren't allowed to watch Disney movies because of the Birdcage and the fact that that was a Disney movie promoting homosexuality. We weren't, and so many of these things have
I
evolved with
just
time.
watched
But to
that.
experience
Hold
that
on.
during the 90s was a wild ride.
There
I
was no
just watched that
homosexuality in the
movie.
Birdcage.
Yeah,
It was,
that was.
there wasn't, and there didn't need to be. They
He
were
was just.
gay-ish.
She was so beautiful. She was just his beautiful wife, right?
I
I
don't
mean.
understand. Listen, we already clearly established that none of this made sense. Are you really
I
trying to
just.
rationalize any of
I remember
this?
Gene Hackman. I don't remember the rest of this movie.
I just watched it for the first time. That was so good.
It is it we have led very parallel lives. I was born in the big city of Memphis, Tennessee, whereas my father and sister were delivered by the same doctor in Arkansas. Many years apart, by the way. Many years apart. But yeah, no, it's that's funny.
The jokes write themselves, man.
Really do. Really does. But
I have
I
not had
wrote
enough of these THC beverages for this conversation, but please go
I
ahead.
wrote a note. It says Southern strategy. So we won't go too deep into the history today, but for those of you who don't know, Google it if you have the ability to Google things after this podcast. Google the Southern strategy. It basically blames immigrants, gays, puts a whole evangelical mode back into full on, let's terrorize the world mode. And what's crazy is I was raised Southern Baptist in Tennessee. Fire, brimstone, the whole thing. If you think dirty thoughts are going to hell, that whole situation.
That was
But
good.
thank you.
That was believable.
I
I
said it was
feel like I am
believable.
going to hell now.
You 100%. First of all, we're all going. And I'm cool with it because I want to be with a
Me
bunch of
too.
people are. To quote the Disney movie, I want to be where the people are. I mean,
If hell is
the
other people, then
evil,
I,
evil
yeah.
Disney
If hell is
movie.
other people, I
Horrible.
am going to be that hell for an awful lot of folks who are going to see me show up and be like, oh, this fucker.
Right? Yeah.
What were you all taught about weed and everything? I mean, I would beg to differ that God made it. It's just a
Ooh.
plant,
How dare
So
you?
how do they?
But God made it to tempt you. And if you are
Oh,
tempted, if you are tempted, you're going to hell.
because it's actually the devil that probably made it, right?
He's onto something. I remember being like 3 years
Is the
old. Well,
devil's
I don't
name.
remember being 3 years old, but
Devil's
my dad
rehearsed.
tells me when I was like 3 years old, I asked him why God would make mosquitoes. And that for me might be the most damning question to ask any clergy member because why do mosquitoes exist?
They do
Where is your
jack shit.
God now?
Where is he?
Answer that, Pope. What is his name? Leo? Who the fuck's the new Pope from Chicago?
That sounds right.
Sure,
He's
go with
a
that.
is he Italian?
He's from Chicago.
Oh no, he's
I
from
ain't
Chicago, the
American.
Italian.
He's from Chicago. The
I
first.
wanna
Throwing back my lords.
Yeah.
Team Chicago Dogs.
Honestly, yeah, that is when I saw that I was like, and he was an anti-Trumper, so I loved that. I thought it was fantastic. A super hippie pope. Yeah, so let's explore this further. I want to get a guy on who can talk about mushrooms. I know somebody. I want to bring him on to talk mushrooms, and maybe we do some mushrooms. I'm actually feeling pretty good.
They
I'm
sell
feeling
them in
pretty.
Michigan.
Do they? Feeling pretty comfortable actually. This hemp beverage, pretty interesting. I can see how it's like sort of calming. The flavor is atrocious. I'm not gonna lie. I did not like this peach
That's a
cider. But that's not
that's
their
one of the
fault. It's
reasons I'm
very hard to
doing
make
it.
things taste good.
Well, and the lighter that you make a base of anything in a beverage, and if especially if you're doing like just pure seltzer, it's
Is
hard to take
this
something
yeah.
that's not
This is going to
yelling
be
in your
practically
face
clear.
and
Yeah.
make that taste good. And cannabis, THC, cannabinoids, most of them are naturally bitter. So you are going to have a bitter note to it, even if it's a background note. And that's something you got to accommodate for. So with something as light as a lot of these THC seltzers, where there's not a lot of place to hide, it can throw the balance out incredibly, incredibly quickly.
Guys, I
That's
can't.
one of the reasons I don't like edibles in general, is I'm very picky with taste, and I'm not good at just taking it down if I don't like the taste of it.
I think I just came
Sorry
up with
about
the
that.
greatest idea that nobody's ever had before. What if we took that cannabis and we put it in brownies?
Whoa.
Shit, that's brilliant.
And
That's
on
genius.
that
I just even brownies, if you don't make them right, they've got a f they're flavorful of tea of cannabis, and I can't handle it.
Gotcha.
That's just me, though. I'm just picky.
Well, as somebody who's not picky in the least, sometimes they're still just nasty. And that's the thing. Like, these aren't easy to make. And it's easy to look at them and be like, yeah, you just throw weed into a can and boom, there you go. But, to your point, Justin, making things taste good is a challenge. Bringing them in balance when you have competing things that don't necessarily marry well together is a challenge. But even from a technical aspect, cannabis beverages are not easy. Cannabinoids, all the psychoactive chemicals in cannabis, those are not water soluble. You can't just mix them into like a drinkable base and have it take. You have to effectively trick it into emulsifying, into actually being able to bind and become water soluble, or at least a facsimile of water solubility. And this is all, I could get like very technical with a lot of this, but the real upshot of it is this was an actual technical achievement to be able to do this, and to be able to do this readily, quickly, and easily. And it's not nearly as simple as it may seem. And there's a lot of people who are making these cannabis beverages who don't even understand enough to really know how to do anything other than chuck a pre-mixed emulsified THC into a seltzer, chuck some puree in there, and hope for the best. And that's how you can get things like a lack of shelf stability or a lack of understanding of can scalping. Like, your actual can liners in a can will actually scalp some of that THC and reduce the actual total THC load, especially over time. Depending on if you're using a micro-emulsified product or a nano-emulsified product, you can run into differences in shelf stability, turbidity, and even the bioavailability. So how much that THC your body can even access, how quickly it actually takes effect. If it's water soluble versus not, that can even make a huge difference on the total amount that you need to get the same effect. So there's a lot that goes into this, and the science is there, but the awareness from the people who are actually turning these into consumer packaged goods, that's not there yet.
Because they're just trying to get them out as fast as they can because it's a fad, and it's if or it's going to go away. So they could get it out now, make the money from it. They might take it away from us soon.
The
It's like
people
how
who
they
made Furbies
do.
got very rich. The people who made whatever the hell was the knockoff, like, I don't know, Derpies, they probably didn't make a dime. You got to fast follow, you got to be there quick. And if you wait until everybody's found out about the fad, it's too late to get in on it yourself.
See, and
Yeah,
I
this
this is the problem that I have, because while the speed of these things drives quick sort of Silicon Valley-esque innovation, where it's like, okay, we just have to get something to market. We had this issue with craft spirits, and it's the reckoning is coming, and it's already sort of started to happen. There's a glut of a lot of things, from tequila to bourbon. And the NA space is massively over flush now, with honestly not great products. Whereas had we focused on bringing 10 really, really, really great products to market, the margins would still be the same.
Exactly.
So,
There's like a
I say we figure this out.
yeah, so I went to an event recently, and they had Warhammer branded ale, and everyone's like, it tastes like shit, but we're buying it. And I was like, that
Yeah,
sounds
that would
stupid.
probably get
That's
me.
another one. It's like branding and like what you put on things. Everybody's all about collecting right now. It's such a big thing to collect and then be like, I'm gonna wait 10 years and sell this Warhammer beer can,
I remember Beanie Babies.
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
Pokemon right now again. It's always been Pokemon, but
it's been Pokemon since the late 90s, and Pokemon cards even since the early 2000s. They are, and Violet, in case you're just listening along at home, Violet is
Yeah, I
holding up
know.
a big a box set of Pokemon cards. And
New white flame. White flame.
branding goes an enormous way, and if it helps sell a few more bottles of
Yeah.
mediocre ale, I'm not going to
Right. I
begrudge
was like, I just
somebody
thought that
for
was so interesting. Like, they were
well
like, we're
they
gonna sell out of it. And somebody was like, yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's pretty cool though. And I was like, yeah, I mean, sure.
right.
Money.
Roll a D6.
Yeah, right.
Well,
Yeah.
I feel like this might be a good place to say goodbye to the Ramblers today.
Alrighty.
So yeah, any last thoughts, anyone?
I don't think so.
Whatever
Thoughts
you
out.
drink, whatever you enjoy, just remember, Ronald Reagan sucks.
Facts.
Follow us on the
Amen.
medias. Join us on all of the platforms. And yeah, join us next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow us on all of the socials, Snapchat, Twitter, TikTok, and more. For more societal fuckery, hedonism, and maybe the occasional shirtless pic. Justin or Aaron's, of course.